The time has come. The finale of season 2 of The Mandalorian drops today on the streaming service Disney Plus. For the last 8 weeks, fans have followed the tale of a bounty hunter, the Mandalorian, and an alien child he has sworn to protect, set in the Star Wars universe.
You must reunite it with its own kind.
You expect me to search the galaxy for the home of this creature?
This is the way.
The atmosphere is just as much a character as the Mandalorian and the baby, and this season takes us all over the galaxy, from the dusty dunes of the desert planet Tatooine to a military base deep under a volcanic plain. And joining us to break down what goes behind the building of the world, the Mandalorian, is perhaps one of the luckiest guys in show business, Andrew L. Jones, production designer for the show. Andrew, great to have you here.
Oh, thanks, Tanya.
The Star Wars universe, whether you're a fan or not, we all know the distinct aesthetic of it. It's immediately clear that The Mandalorian, which was created by Jon Favreau, is very intentional in maintaining that original look of A New Hope. But the thing about that very first movie is that there wasn't a lot of money for set design. So how much of a challenge was it to actually maintain that aesthetic while also having so many new technologies and really a lot more money?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. That was John's very strong initial intention, was that we would be channeling the DNA of those early movies. And, you know, I'm working with Doug Chang from Lucasfilm and his amazing team of artists up there who live and breathe Star Wars. But I got to say, you mentioned that the original filmmakers had a limited budget. And they did for sure. But I got to say, after the experience of working on season one of this show and recreating some of their sets and trying to channel what they did, I'm just amazingly impressed with what they managed to achieve. And I think that's part of why it was so successful, is that they had such ambition and were able to make it all work and introduce new technologies and, you know, the birth of ILM. So, you know, this has been a tough show, you know, very ambitious. But by the time we were done, I was just in awe of what the original filmmakers had achieved.
And speaking of new technology, The Mandalorian actually uses this wraparound screen called the Volume that actually projects the landscapes instead of a traditional green screen. What was it like incorporating that digital tech into physical sets?
It's, you know, we really had to figure it out as we went along. You know, John kind of understood what the technology and what the capabilities were and was happy to sort of embark on this. And we'd kind of scratched the surface of this a little bit, but actually putting a physical set in amongst this and having the physical world tie into the virtual world was kind of new to us. So we've learned the things that work, the things that don't work. But the thing is, when it does work, it's extraordinary. It really is. I mean, you know, it's not just like a translate or a picture that wraps around you. It actually moves and the parallax changes as the camera moves. It's seeing the environment from different points of view. So it's which makes all the difference. It just sells the depth. But there's a lot of other quirks and anomalies that you have to deal with, to do with luminosity and color and focus. So we've kind of developed a process for this and are able to be more ambitious, but it's a TV show and we have to sort of fit into the TV rhythm.
I can only imagine your days are long, but exciting because you're creating something that you know that folks will cherish. And as you mentioned, that level of detail brings so much of the story to life, from the clutter of the docks of Trask, the graffiti and the neon signs of the Outer Rim Metropolis at the start of the season. Once you have a set, what's the process of actually populating all of these small details that make it so realistic for us?
We've got, like I say, we're working with Doug Chang and his illustrators from San Francisco at Lucasfilm, and they actually work in 3D models. So that's kind of the start of the process. So we're creating the whole world kind of like a video game. Because of that, we can start putting in all of those details. We can bring in assets from previous Star Wars shows or video games, and we can scan props and bring those into the world. And then, you know, the directors, we all scout it in VR. And then when we've kind of got that figured out, I got to go in and slice out the part of this virtual world that I'm going to make physical. And that then goes to the regular art department who are going to dissect that, find out how they're going to build it, how much they have to build. Honestly, what I'm finding is the less that we have to build, the better. Sometimes the best sets are the very simplest. Also, we've got, like, the volume is this tremendously sophisticated bit of technology, you know, very expensive LED panels and the system that runs it. You know, cutting edge stuff, really incredibly expensive and fancy all around us. And we're in the middle with little bulldozers and shovels and, you know, throwing dirt around and trying not to get it on there. And then ponds with water, you know, if we get a leak, it's a lot more of an issue than if it were just to be on a regular stage. So,
oh, anyway, my gosh, I didn't think about that. No, it's exciting, but yeah. I also didn't think about that. You have all of this sophisticated technology, and then you have the practical things that make the set look real, and you can't have those intersect, especially water. It does not work with technology,
Yeah, on season one, we were doing the sand crawler treads, and we'd been putting mud onto the sand crawler in the virtual world, and when we got that loaded on, we had one track that was virtual and one track that was real, and these are huge, like 12-foot tall Caterpillar tracks. And on the morning that we were going to shoot, we brought our set in, but it wasn't muddy enough. So the whole greens department and myself all ran in and started madly throwing mud onto the treads to get it dirty enough before the company arrived. Yeah. And I saw a place on one of the treads that didn't have enough mud, and I threw the mud at it, but it was on the screens. So completely trashed a bit of the screen.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
That's how convincing it is, though.
Yeah. And you have to recover really quickly because time is short, as you said. You've mentioned Jon Favreau quite a bit. We know about his intense love for Star Wars and, you know, he's the creator of The Mandalorian. The love put into not only the sets, but the entire storyline is palpable. I think I actually heard you say in another interview that you first saw A New Hope with your mom when you were 14.
That's right.
Does it feel like a dream to work on such a beloved story?
Oh, it totally does. You know, when I first went in, there was three factors that totally sold me. One was working with John. I'd worked with John on Jungle Book, and I knew how, you know, really smart, really good to work with. That's enough right there. But also the technology, which is extraordinary. And I've been working in these visual effects heavy projects for a number of years, and this is like the pinnacle of all of that for me. And then the property is, you know, I'm a total fan of Star Wars. So those three together, you know, like you say, I feel like I'm the luckiest designer there is.
Andrew, is there anything else I didn't ask you? I mean, I'm sure, like, we could talk about this for hours, but is there any particular part of your work that you want to share with us that I didn't ask you?
Yeah, I guess one other thing is this project, more than any other, has been tremendously collaborative. And what's interesting about this now for me is that we've got an amazing team of traditional artists, artisans, painters, sculptors, plasterers, carpenters, you know, what you would hope to have on any physical production. But we've also got the exact equivalent in the virtual art department, people working with, you know, sculpting programs, painting programs, you know. And the two teams together are able to work together in a way that I'd never anticipated. The painters are giving paint samples to the virtual artists. The virtual artists are rendering out scenes and giving it to the plasterer. So it's a kind of a new departure to have this kind of collaboration and this kind of cross-pollinating of the new and the old.
You know, cross-pollinating is a beautiful way to put it. And we hope to see more of that spirit of collaboration in Star Wars shows and movies moving forward. Thank you so much, Andrew.
Oh, of course, Tanya.
That's Andrew L. Jones, production designer on The Mandalorian. The finale is available today on Disney+.